Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Village Baptist Church. We're so thrilled that you could all be here with us in worship today. And for those of you who are joining us online from home or wherever you may be, if you are visiting with us today, it would be wonderful if you could take a moment to fill out this connection card that's in the pews in front of you so we can get in touch, chat with you, find out if you enjoyed your time here at Village. We would love to see you back here again. So before we get into announcements, let's take a few minutes to stand up, walk around, greet each other, say good morning, and then we will come back together and proceed with worship. Quite a few announcements today. First, following worship this morning, we are going to have our Pastor Search Community Town Hall. Please, if you can spare the time, please join us. This is kind of the last big church meeting we're going to have before we really finalize our ad and position description for our next pastor. So we would love for you all to come. We're going to give some information about the small group sessions that we've been holding and just have another chance to talk as a Village family before we take the next steps in that process. Hunger banks are going to be collected today during the offertory. So if you have your hunger bank, please be sure to bring those up. We are having the Thanksgiving Day service at 11 a.m. A collection of food for the Bowie Food Pantry will be taken then. And also, please do not forget to fill out this insert in the bulletin for the Thanksgiving Day meal. If you plan to join for the Thanksgiving Day meal, just sign up to bring two of your favorite dishes. I know that, you know, sometimes we forget to actually RSVP for things, but when it has to do with meal and planning for food, it helps to have an idea of how many people are coming for that. So please take the time to fill out this lovely yellow insert so that we know how many people to expect. The Korean church that uses our building after our services has been gracious enough to leave a couple of big boxes of mandarin oranges for us in a show of gratitude for their use of our space. These are available out in the narthex, so please go ahead and take a bag home with you after worship today. For Christmas, we are going to be decorating the church on December 2nd from 1 to 4 p.m. So if you have any available time that day and would like to help spread some Christmas cheer and put some beautiful decorations up, help is always looked for and appreciated. The directory, we've been talking a bit about that for the past few weeks. We are in the process of updating Village's directory, so please make sure that your contact information is correct. I believe there may still be a few hard copies out in the narthex. If you just want to flip through, make sure that everything is up to date so that we can get a hold of everyone when necessary. And this last announcement is going to come from missions about the Angel Tree donation. So Casey and Wanda, if you could come up.
Good morning, Village family. In August 2019, a group from Village led a two-week summer camp at Overland Gardens Apartments in Landover. It was quite challenging, but a joyful experience for us. The children were very sweet and appreciative. Overland Gardens is one of four sites operated by CityGate, an organization with which Village has had a long partnership. The free after-school programs offered by CityGate at these sites provide a safe place for disadvantaged youth to learn and grow. This Christmas season, Village is providing gifts for the 23 children who regularly attend the after-school program at Overland Gardens. We ask the director, Amy Jala, to have each of these children make a wish list, and we're going to try to fulfill their wish, at least some of their wishes. Our goal is to give each child two wrapped gifts and a $50 Target or Walmart gift card for the child's family. We are coordinating this project with the missions team from Montgomery Hills Baptist Church, who have arranged a party to be held at Overland Gardens. On the party day, Village will deliver the gifts and, with the Montgomery Hills team, share the story of God's gift to the world. Thank you for your help in sharing Jesus' love with these children. Casey and Joe have made those really cute angel tree tags that you saw on that tree when you came in the foyer this morning that include the child's name, gender, and age, and one of the items on their wish list. Casey's going to explain to you how to select and register.
So if you've seen the tree out front, you see there's little tags. They look like this. They have all the information that you need on them. Some of the children didn't have a specific toy that they wanted, so it'll just say toy. And then you need to use your creativity and choose something that you think might interest a child of that age and gender. So if you're feeling creative, pick one of those. If not, that's fine. There's plenty of toys that the children specifically wanted. If you have a question about a toy or where to purchase a toy, you're welcome to come and talk to me, and I'd be glad to help you with that. Most things, if you shop in the store, you can find at Target or Walmart, or if you're like me and you like to go online, Amazon has it all. So there are also several ones that just say a $50 gift card to Walmart or Target. So if you'd like to purchase a gift card, that's fine. You can also, there are angels on the tree that you can pick that say gift card. What you'll do is you'll take your angel off the tree. The top angel is you keep. So the one that's white, you keep. You just tear your angel off. And your angels all have a number. So this one's number 27. So there's a sign-up sheet out on the table. You just find number 27 and put your name next to it so that we know that you chose angel number 27. Okay, and then you can hang your gold angel back up on the tree. So when the whole tree is gold, we'll know that all the angels have been selected. So for delivery, we ask that you bring your wrapped gifts back on December 10th or by December 10th with that white tag on it. That way we know who it goes to, so we don't have to unwrap it and figure out what it is. So please be sure to bring those back on December 10th. If you're bringing a gift and you don't see anyone from the Missions Commission, you can leave it in the parlor. If you're bringing a gift card, please be sure to put it in the hand of someone on the Missions Commission. We want to make sure we don't get any of those lost. So if you have any questions, please feel free to see me or Wanda or anyone else on the Missions Commission. And we really, really appreciate your generosity this Christmas season. Thanks.
Thank you, Casey and Wanda. One more thing that we've also been chatting about, Village is now on Instagram. So if you have an Instagram account, Village can be found at Village Baptist of Bowie. This is kind of a new frontier. We're branching out. It's a great way for us to be able to reach others in the community. So if you are on Instagram, go ahead and give us a follow there. This is the day the Lord has made.
And join me as we sing.
Happy Thanksgiving. A few days early. Well, we're going to have a time of prayer as we do each week in worship. Before that, we want to share some blessings and concerns, and we'll be muting the sound now for a few moments while these concerns are shared. Let's unite our hearts in prayer together. God, as we come together in prayer this morning, we are thankful that we are one in Christ. Create in us clean hearts as we seek to glorify you and not ourselves. As we worship and minister together, bring a spirit of harmony, cooperation in all that we seek to do and be. Help us to be more open and more trusting and more loving. It's so easy not to care, not to see the lonely, not to hear the cries of the hungry. It's so hard to leave our cozy circle of friends in order to reach out to somebody new. So we pray for longer arms and bigger hearts. And for those who are overlooked, the poor and the hungry, often the young and the old and the oppressed, help us to see them and to be with them. Into your hands, God, we commend the sick and the sorrowful and the lonely and the grieving, that they might know your healing and experience your love. We pray for your sustaining grace for those who labor in hospitals and clinics and provide health care and see to people's physical and emotional and spiritual well-being. Life can be hard. Life can be challenging for many of us. But no matter how challenging things might seem, help us to know that you are there with us. We are burdened by the many thousands who have been killed or injured or displaced in Israel and Gaza. We long for an end to the violence and pray for the making of a lasting peace. And we pray that this horrific conflict will not escalate, it will not metastasize into a larger conflict that engulfs even more nations. We pray for the leaders of nations that you will stir up in them a desire for justice, that they might do those things that make for peace. Grant us wisdom and courage for the living of these days. We confess our faith in you. We put our trust in you and your will. And we pray in the name of your Son. Amen. God, we bring these offerings today because our eyes have been opened to the hungry in a way that most of us have ever known. Because we see the hungry all around us, we want to give. You've opened our hearts to see children and men and women whose bodies and minds and spirits are shrinking right before our eyes. So we bring these offerings, we unlock our hearts, we unclench our fists, we release our grip on what we have in order to feed those who have so little. We pray that the day will soon come, Lord, when hunger offerings will no longer be necessary because so many people come together to give and pray and act that no longer will there be any more empty stomachs. And the hungry will be fed until they're filled. Let your love and grace flow through us and through these offerings as we strive to meet the needs of the least of these. In our Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Well, that was well worth taking some time for, but it's now time for the children's story. Hey, good morning. How are you today? You all know what week this is, right?
Yeah,
Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, right? And
you know,
well, we're not quite ready to go to Christmas yet. We're going to stop for Thanksgiving. Yeah, the Christmas tree. That's right. Right. You know, every time we have come up on Thanksgiving, people say, "What are you thankful for?" And of course, we're thankful for our family and we're thankful for our friends. And I'm sure you could name other things. But I want you to think about some things you might be thankful for that you might not recognize. Okay, I'm not going to ask you all what you're thankful for because I know you've got lots of good things. But I want to think about something that you perhaps haven't thought about that we could be thankful for. It's one of the things that's in the world around. What?
Everything.
Well, that's a good thing to be thankful for. I've got an example of one of those everythings. I've got a pen here. What happens when I let go of the pen? What? Yeah, because of gravity. And I believe we should be thankful for gravity. And you know what I'm going to say next. If it weren't for gravity, what would happen? Well, example. Stand up, everybody. All right. Now, sit back down. If it weren't for gravity, you wouldn't be able to sit down. Because when you stood up, you would float up into the air. Now, doesn't that sound like fun? Floating through the air? Well, we don't need... Yes. Thank you. The pen is heavier, that's right. If it were a helium balloon, it would not fall down, it would go up. That's right. But gravity is one of those things, we can't see it, and yet it's very important to us. No, if all of a sudden gravity were to turn off, and I'd say, get up, then you'd all float up in the air. And floating up in the air, it sounds like fun, doesn't it? Well, you're floating around up here, and then you get hungry. And unless a sandwich floats by, let me talk this time, please. We'll talk later, okay? Yes, you can't eat if you can't go anywhere. And then, maybe even worse, what would happen if you needed to go to the bathroom and you're floating around up there? Doesn't that sound like something you probably wouldn't want? So that's why you should be thankful for gravity. Uh-huh. Well, we're not going up high enough to explode, I hope. If you were floating around in here, you'd just hit the ceiling. You won't explode at the ceiling. That's why we have the floor. Anyway, we can be thankful. A cord, yes, would be nice to be tied down. If you if you if gravity disappeared. Believe me, gravity is not going to disappear. And we can be thankful for gravity. And that's just one of those many things that we see around us in the world that is part of the world, and it's part of God's world. Think of air. Can't see that either, but boy, we sure couldn't get along without that. Or water, or other things. How about sunlight? These are all things that are part of God's world, and we can be thankful for all of them. So, when Thanksgiving rolls around and somebody says, "What are you thankful for?" surprise them and say, "I'm thankful for gravity." Okay? Will you do that? That'll surprise everybody. Let's say a quick word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that we do have gravity, that we have air, that we have water, that we have so many things around us. In fact, we're thankful for everything. And we ask you to help us celebrate Thanksgiving, remembering that these are all gifts from you. Be with us now. We thank you for all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming up and participating.
Good morning, church family. And happy Thanksgiving to each and every one of you. The title of the song today is "I Believe." I believe for every drop a rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. I believe, I believe, I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer still can be heard. I believe that somewhere, in the great somewhere, hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer still can be heard. I believe that someone in the grave somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why I believe. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or
thank you, Ron. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 11. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word.
Thank you, Julia. And thank you, Ron. That was a real blessing this morning. Will you pray with me? Oh God, take my words and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire for love of you. Amen. Look at me, Pop, cried my grandson Shepherd. See how high I can swing? No, look at me, Pop, yelled my granddaughter Sydney. I can swing higher than he can. And their voices cascaded over that empty playground that evening, but their words represented a worldview shared by many. Child or adult, our refrain is often, look at me, see how high I can go. And nowhere is our self-seeking, upwardly mobile spirit expressed more vividly sometimes than at the dinner table. The White House, you know, has someone called the Chief of Protocol, who does little more than worry about where people are going to be seated for state dinners. Oh, to be seated at the head table. Wow. We have witnessed this year the ugly scenes of politicians jockeying for position and power. Something there is in us that wants the highest position, the best seat, the shiniest car, the most power. Now, as usual, whatever way we may be going, whatever way the world may be going, Christ seems to be going the other way. There is a place where power and position are not important, you know. That place is the kingdom of God. The text today is another of the parables of Jesus. When invited to a marriage feast, Jesus said, "Do not go in and sit at the head table, the place of honor. Oh, for a few minutes, if you do, everyone else at the wedding will think that you are somebody, because you're sitting up there in an important position trying to get that first piece of cake. But it might be that the man who invited you will have invited some others who are more important than you. He has that place saved for them. And later he's going to come in with these famous people. And when he finds you in their place, he will have to ask you to move. You need to go down there, way down there. You need to go down there where the waiters will drop soup on you and the dishwasher will drown out your table talk. How humiliating would that be? How embarrassing. Much better to go to the low-ranked seats first, because there's always the possibility that when the chief of protocol comes in, he'll see you there, and maybe he'll raise you up a notch or two. Maybe protocol will be reversed in your favor. The lesson, I think, is that life in the kingdom is not about position and power and authority or money or glory. It's about humility and service. It's not about status, what we wear or what we drive or what side of the tracks we happen to hail from. It's not about calling attention to ourselves. It's about doing what needs to be done. Most of us know who deacons are and what they do. In fact, Pastor Emily covered that ground very well when Julia was ordained just a few months ago. But one of the focal points of any discussion of deacons and what they do is found in chapter 6 of Acts. And I want to highlight very briefly what I see as the main purpose for which deacons are selected, and that is to serve, to minister to human need. The very first verse of chapter 6 tells us that there was an issue that needed to be dealt with in that early church. Sometimes we ignore problems and issues in churches and hope they'll go away. They rarely do. But the disciples dealt with this issue. Certain widows in the congregation, identified as Hellenistic widows, were not having their needs met, and they were murmuring against the Hebrews. And the 12 summoned the body of disciples and said, "It's not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, pick out from among you 7 of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom." And so these first 7 deacons were selected to minister to needs. And from the very beginning, this has been one of the most basic assignments given to a deacon, to minister to human need, to be a servant. In fact, the word deacon, as you probably know, comes from the Greek word diakonos, which means one called to serve or to minister. That is what the word means. Deacons are set aside in the life of the church to help us, to lead us to minister to human need within the congregation and outside of these walls. Some of you may know I attended a Methodist seminary, Wesley United Methodist Seminary in Washington. Don't hold that against me. They had a beautiful campus there, and they had a beautiful chapel there. And one of the things that impressed me about that chapel was that one whole side of that chapel was glass. It was glass. And I love stained glass windows as much as the next person, but I also love that those windows and your windows here at Village are clear, because that's a reminder that though we gather for worship in here, we dare not forget that there is a world out there. That though we are in church, we are still a part of that world. Friends, the church does not exist for us and for our good pleasure. We are here to be servants of the world for Christ and to give ourselves away for the world. This is not a mutual admiration society. We come together to worship, to pray, to study, and to give to a world that is quite literally broken and bleeding. So in this in-between time, when you're searching for a pastor, wondering what you should be doing and where you should be going and where God would have you go, I want to suggest a good question for you to ask. What road will help us most effectively serve the community and the world around us? That will be the right path for you to take. What we do here is about service. It's about humility. Being a deacon or a follower of Christ is not what the church can do for us. It's about what we can do for the church, not the building, but the people. It's not about what rights and privileges the kingdom conveys to us. It's about what forms of service we can give to God's work. You know, some people believe that there are privileges that come with church memberships. You get a parking spot, or you get to sit in the same pew for 25 years. It's not about that. It's not about position or power or authority. It's about humility, and it's about service. We are those who are invested in things that are vitally important, not just the everyday things. Deacons are not about money. They're not monitoring church activities or buildings or budgets, supervising church staff or telling the pastors what to preach. They're servants, spending time, reaching out to their flock under their care, calling them, sending notes to them, visiting them sometimes, visiting them in the hospital sometimes, offering support and help, in short, focusing on things that really, really matter. You know, being a follower of Christ is really countercultural. It's based on the conviction that those who humble themselves will be exalted. And I think anything we do for others will be seen as a success in the eyes of our Lord. In just a few moments, I'm going to invite Kathy Fisher to come and sit down here in the lowest place, remembering that all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It's about humility. Village, we have set her apart for a reason. Kathy personifies to me what it means to be a servant and to have a servant's heart. I have felt that already. She's been a member of this flock for over a decade. She's been deeply involved in the life of faith here, attending Bible study each week, serving on the staff of the Village Voice, lending her gifts to the choir, and helping in a myriad of other ways. You are a kind and loving person with a heart for ministry, and you are being ordained here because of who you are, because of your faith in the Lord, because of what you have done and how you've served. The Spirit has brought you to this service. I know that maybe you're feeling today, as many of us have felt in the past, that maybe I'm not worthy, but in so many respects, you are worthy to be in this place because people see in you the presence of Christ. So I charge you today to continue to be faithful, to continue to be a devoted servant, the same devoted servant you have always been, and let the measure of your faith be not a title or a position, but service. I charge you today to lean into your giftedness. Serve with all of your heart and mind and soul and strength. Set aside time for prayer and discernment. Listen for the promptings of God. Live and serve among us as salt and light. In short, bring your best faith, bring your best self to the calling of deacon as we know you will. And that will be enough. That will be all we need. In the words of the psalmist in Psalm 90, I pray that God will prosper the work of your hands. To the congregation, I charge you to keep on doing what you've been doing. I know sometimes we wonder if the service we render is making any difference. It is. It is. So be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What I call upon you to do today and in the days to come is to pray for Kathy and to support her and challenge her and encourage her. My prayer is that this will be a fruitful partnership of diaconate and congregation, working together for the good of God's kingdom, for the good of our community and that world out there. I thank you, Village, for all you have done to this point, but I'm very excited about what you will yet do. I remember an old story. I remember old stories because I'm an old pastor. But I remember an old story about a statue of Christ in a church in Europe that was struck during a bombing in World War II. They later dug up that statue and they discovered that it was undamaged except for the hands that had been broken off. And you know, they hired a sculptor to replace the hands. But then they changed their minds. They decided to leave it like it was as a reminder to the people that Christ has no hands but ours to do his work. In that spirit, Kathy, I want to invite you to come forward now. A chair will be provided for you. Kathy had a procedure on her foot just a week or so ago, but she said to me, I'm going to be here Sunday no matter what. And she is, and we're so glad. Kathy, I'm going to have a prayer for you, and then we're going to have invite the deacons present and past, and anyone else who would like to share a word of blessing with Kathy. But for now, would you bow with me in prayer? Lord, we're so grateful for these moments, for this new deacon. We thank you for calling her, and we thank you that she responded to your call, and we're thankful for this time of ordination as she begins her ministry in this church. Lord, remind her of the example of our Lord, who came not to be served, but to serve, who always saw the needs of others rather than seeking his own, who always ministered to all people, who loved all people unconditionally and with courage and with determination. Lord, grant her wisdom and strength to do as you call all of us to do, to model your love and to do justice and to walk humbly with you. We have learned, God, over the years that whenever you call us to any task, you'll always provide the resources we need. So let Kathy draw deeply from that rich well of love and grace. Pour into her life your Holy Spirit and fill her with your love and compassion. Equip her to fulfill the task that she is appointed to fulfill. Guide her by your Spirit and enable her to serve humbly and faithfully in your strength, that she might be a channel of your love and grace to all who come to this place. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of our Lord, whose life showed us what it means to faithfully love and serve and lead your people. Amen. So, I would like to invite all those who are deacons now or have been deacons to come and lay hands on Kathy. Might want to come down this side and then leave on the other side. Now may the grace and peace of Jesus Christ our Lord go with you on your journey, wherever he may take you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you in the storm, and one day may he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen.